to fashion. There's a nice kind of challenging sentence that kind of is trying to tease out the subtle differences between how we spend our money and what we have. And they seem to be kind of posing the question of there can be differences, very subtle differences in how you spend your money or what you have between something that is idolatrous and something that's within the service of God. And ultimately, I suggest that's between you and God. But it's a healthy challenge, isn't it? To place some things in your life and place the question, is this necessity or luxury? Has this become routine or is it a celebration? Challenging questions that we can all ask ourselves. Then lastly, good old Ecclesiastes. There's a truckload of this kind of stuff. Here's just one verse. Everyone comes naked from their mother's womb, and as everyone comes, so they depart. They take nothing from their toil that they can carry in their hands. Bravo. There you go. Get on with it. I think that's a decent summary, though, of the kind of tradition and values that we're invited to be part of. That's a really, I think, fantastic three sentences that could guide us in all sorts of financial decisions and thoughts about what we have and what we get. But I think it's good to place it in context of present time. And what I want to do now is place what I listed earlier, the false teachers and attitudes to wealth that Paul was talking about in the time of Timothy, and I'd now like to move that into present day. Nick touched on it earlier. There are two things. Let's talk false teaching first. I would say this advert symbolizes potentially false teaching that's a distraction to us every day of the week. I'm a sucker to it. I can fall for it. I'm challenged by it. It can trap me. Perhaps it can trap you also. The times around us would say, firstly, that truth is something that you decide for yourself. Truth is not objective. There are not agreed standards and values. Instead, some truth is something, our values, our virtue is something that I decide for myself. And if I say it's right, then it's right. And you just accept that because you just go with it because I'm not causing you any harm. That's a message of our time that I would suggest is a false teaching that only or typically causes harm. Secondly, that freedom is the power to do what you want when you want. So I'm free if I'm as powerful as possible to do whatever I like at my disposal. So Paul suggests that there are false teachers who benefit financially from false godliness. I would suggest that there are false message givers who are only seeking to benefit financially from the messages they give us. Sorry, this is a bit full on, but let's just put it out there. Why not? Paul's being tough on this stuff. At the end of the day, there are marketing companies, plenty of them, advertisers, whose agenda is to generate profit for companies who sell us stuff. And when they tell us that we want the new headphones so that we can hear what we want, they're not doing it because they're thinking the best for us. They're thinking about how they generate the most amount of money from us for the people who are selling these things. So at the end of the day, there are a number of messages, and plenty of them are helpful. I'm not turning this into like an attack on kind of everything that's commercial and capitalist. I'm not going full on radical here, but I do think we have to have our eyes open that we are bombarded with messages from people who want our money.
and want to change the way we think
about the things around us so that we buy them
and have them for ourselves.
Like watch a TV advert, there's so much that I want in my house.
So many things that I look at online, adverts. You know, I want some new shoes at the moment. I need some new shoes. It's like, oh man, they're cool shoes. How cool would I look if I had those shoes?
Probably not a lot.
Thanks, so.
My wife's word was probably not very.
But you know, those adverts are deliberately designed, aren't they, to get my attention and to woo me to spend money. The second thing that Paul has challenged is attitudes to wealth and money. And I think, again, we can see messages. I just Googled kind of financial, you know, planning, look into the future, investment, and here was a nice advert. Have the money you need, secure your financial future, and do the things you love. That's a typical message that our culture in our time is very happy to promote. I wonder if you feel like there's anything challenging or uncomfortable about that, or whether it makes you feel uneasy. I don't know. I think I fall into thinking this way plenty of times, beginning to get older now. Just had my birthday, I'm edging closer to 40. I have to start thinking even now about retirement. What are we going to do when we don't have an income? How are we going to pay university fees? All the rest of it. So, you know, we're all faced with, aren't we, kind of financial decisions where we're thinking about the future and how much do we need? But again, what I wanted to do this morning was just cast a light on potentially false teaching that can challenge how we view our money and our things and our financial future. So just a couple of things to question here. Define need. It says, have the money you need. Well, we questioned earlier, didn't we? What's the difference between luxury and necessity? When's the last time you looked through all your stuff and said, do I need that? As I prepare for the future, do I need that or do I want it? And if I want it, what's driving that want? Do I really need that future thing, whatever it is that I'm planning for? Secure your financial future. Again, that seems reasonable. But are we, within that, always trusting that God is our provider? But God actually said, I am your father, I give you everything you need, I will always look after you. That isn't to say we don't have a responsibility to plan for our future and look after ourselves, but it always needs to be under the banner of the Lord is my provider. That was one of the first names given to God in the Old Testament, the Lord provides. So whatever we think about securing our financial future, it's first under the banner, the Lord provides. And lastly, do the things you love. I mean, again, that sounds great, doesn't it? But how far do we go with that? How recklessly do we pursue the things you love? You know, and this is where I have to expose myself here, because I'm planning a nice trip to Europe with Laura and the kids in the summer. We're going to have a nice extended break. But gosh, it's tantalizing to think all the things we could do, all the money that we could spend, making it even better. Maybe we can just add this in, or we can just add that in. At what point are we tipping over from a great holiday and memory for our children and our family, and a great fun experience, to pure hedonistic craving of luxury and wealth and experience? Do you know what I mean? Like there's a tilting there that we have to wrestle with and wonder about and be accountable to God for. So there are two things there that I've exposed, or I think are kind of, I'm
trying to highlight for us, to just draw to our attention this morning. There are two messages that I think are around us, that encourage us in how we view our money and our stuff, how we view our values, and they sit opposed, potentially, to the simple message of follow Jesus, be at peace, and that is real progress in life. And I guess the question we have to ask is, which of these is carrying most weight in your life right now? Are there aspects of this where you think, I wonder if there's an attitude here which is veering away to the messages that I hear all around me on a day-to-day basis, or is it veering towards the messages and the word of Jesus? How much are we kind of aware even that these messages are around us, challenging us, provoking us in the choices that we make? And how much are we aware of that simple message and call from Jesus? So we're drawing to a close. Jesus, at the end of his Sermon on the Mount, if you want a great instruction for choices in life, the Sermon on the Mount, 3 chapters, pure wisdom gold, all sorts of advice and guidance on pursuing Jesus. And he ends it with, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Paul's advice to Timothy is to teach and encourage pursuit of Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. He's encouraging Timothy to grow a community that is faithful to the truth of Jesus, to devotion to him, and to obedience to him, and just living a simple life of discipleship to Jesus day by day, without distraction, without turmoil, without various challenges that direct us away from Jesus. So I thought these are just potentially helpful questions to close off with. How much is Bible reading, prayer, and discipleship with others shaping your values at the moment? How much is there a need, in light of these messages, that if you think about it, isn't it, that we're here today together for 2 hours, roughly, where we sing some songs and hear somebody like me speak for a while, and we maybe think about God a bit more and process things, and then we go back out there and we listen to our radios and we watch our TVs and we drive past our adverts and we meet with our friends who don't know Jesus, and we're being told things all the time. So how much of that is kept in check by the Bible, by personal prayer, and by accountability to others? We're going to be doing more as a church to encourage each other and support each other in discipleship groups, but we don't want to let them go, because we really believe that there is a healthy place for everyone in this church family to have 2 or 3 people in our lives that we meet with once a month who we trust to give us challenging conversation, and who trust us to challenge them back. And we want this to be a church family, and I want to be part of a church family where I have people in my life who can say, Rich, are you really thinking carefully about how much money you're spending on that trip to Europe? I don't know how I'd take it. Somebody did, but I ultimately know it would be really good for me. I know it's good for me to have a couple of people in my life who say, have you thought about this, Rich? Are you sure you're spending your money wisely here? What's your limit, Rich? Have you checked recently if you really need that, or did you just really fancy it? Secondly, which teachers are you listening to at the moment? So You know, actually, the one thing we're really blessed with in a world of social media is there's a horde of podcasts, of teaching. Obviously, there's a whole range, and there are some quite interesting things that I'm not suggesting one listens to. You know, you can seek advice on that. But who is filling your head with ideas other than this church, actually? Where else are you receiving input from wise people who love God and have good ideas for how to live? And lastly, I just felt this was a question to consider that maybe, again, it's a bit like a stone in the shoe thing, but how much lost money and possessions would it take for you to stop feeling at peace with life? How much lost money and possessions would it take for you to stop feeling at peace with life?
I guess I just wonder, you know, that's maybe a helpful question to put a check on kind of attitudes and what we have under God. If I were to survey my home, imagine, you know, the trauma of what's going on in Africa right now and that cyclone. Well, imagine anything like a tenth of that were to happen in my life and I was to lose my home, my TV, my computers, my car. Would I still feel at peace with life? Would I still be able to find strength in Jesus? Would I still be able at the end of the day to thank Jesus for being my Lord and Saviour and to pursue each day with him? I don't know. I wonder how subtle it is to just gently find my peace in what I have around me and in the house I live in, rather than my relationship with Jesus. How easily I can fall into that trap. So aren't we thankful that as we come back to where I started at the beginning, we're in a position and posture of grace from God this morning. That despite all my failings, that if I turn this in on myself, I could barely stand up. Well, I would not stand up to Jesus if he were to ask me these questions. He could shine a torch in areas of my life and I think, oh gosh, how I've let you down. And yet the response is a loving call to just go further with him. To put it before Jesus and say, okay, well help me then. Help me to trust you more. Help me to rely on you more. Help me to grow in more confidence and peace with you and less with what I have and what I own. And so I think we can celebrate and enjoy this morning that we're under grace and we have an invitation to turn in response to this message, not to kind of feel condemned, feel, oh, I'm no good. Actually, it's an invitation and a call from Jesus to walk with him.
So we've got a song to close, if John and Mark would come up. Anna, if you would you mind just standing with me?
Thank you, Jesus, that you died for us, knowing all our challenges, all our failings, all our weaknesses, and yet you love us and accept us. And you died for each one of us, and I thank you that we belong to you. Lord, in this moment now, we just hand over to you anything that you've put on our hearts this morning, Lord. We pose that question, Lord, what is it that we own? What is it that we possess that maybe is leading us to depend on it rather than on you? Jesus, in a moment of quiet, we just give you those things now.
Thank you, Jesus, that you receive each one of those things. Thank you for your promise, Jesus, that you say, come, all those of you who are heavy laden, come walk with me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus, would you help us to walk with you? Would you help us to walk with you as we spend our money and enjoy the things we have? Would you help us to walk with you as we ponder whether something is necessity or luxury, whether something is routine or celebration? Would you guide us, Jesus, in humble obedience to you? Jesus, we give you everything now in your name.